Now, I want you to look at this man, because we find that he went out and destroyed the idols, because his father, old Ahaz, had brought in idolatry, and there were idols everywhere. Not only idolatry, we're told in chapter 31, verse 1, "Now when all this was finished, all Israel that was present went out to the cities of Judah. They broke the images in pieces, cut down the groves, threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim, also in Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned every man to his possession into their own cities." And then it was a period of great reformation that took place. All right, this is the man that's leading in all this. First of all, let me say that he was a man of faith. And when I say that, I mean something by that more than is meant today when we hear that the present-day popular faith and Bible faith are actually not the same. This is what I mean. A member of a certain ism, he told me that there were four things that you had to do to be saved. I asked for it. I asked him. I said, "What do you think you have to do to be saved?" And I won't mention the four things, but one of them was faith. And I told him, I said, "I don't agree with you with any of them." He was a little shocked. He said, "Well, certainly you believe in faith, because I know you preach that." Well, I said, "I don't mean faith like you mean faith." I said, "All that you are doing is trying to say that if you believe hard enough." You see, the modern conception of faith, it reminds me of the old country fair that we used to have, the county fair, when I was a boy. There was always there a place where there was a weight, and there was a place like a thermometer, and there was a big sledgehammer, and you come up and you hit this thing, and it would knock this weight up that thermometer. You'd see who could, you know, knock it the highest. And some fellow would come along with his girl, and they'd challenge him, and he'd take off his coat and spit on his hands, and he'd swing that hammer, and he'd hit that as hard as he could, and he'd see if he could ring the bell up there. Now, he made a supreme effort. He tried hard, and it was just nothing in the world but just an effort. And therefore, a great many people say, "Oh, if I can believe hard enough," you see. But believe me, friends, faith is not a psychological response to anything. It's not that at all. Faith is not in the feelings, but it's an accomplished fact. Faith is that which is wrought in the soul by the Holy Spirit. It's a conviction that's born in the spirit of man. You remember the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, when he made that great confession of faith in Christ, he says, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Therefore, you see, faith is not self-meritorious. As someone has said, it's a germ righteousness. It's not that at all. We're told, "By grace are ye saved through faith." Well, it's merely the instrument. Christ is the Savior, and it's the object of faith. Remember, Spurgeon said, "It's not thy hold on Christ that saves thee, it's Christ. It's not thy joy in Christ that saves thee, it's Christ. It's not even thy faith, though that be the instrument. It is Christ's blood and merit." Just to believe enough. But there's no merit in faith. You could believe the wrong thing. Millions of Mohammedans died as martyrs. They were fanatics. Faith brings nothing, that it might take all. Faith says, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief," and it trusts God. Now, this man, Hezekiah, trusted God. Then he was a man of prayer. Chapter 31, you have all these many religious reforms that he carried out. And there will be reformation if the Lord Jesus saves you, my friend. He's going to change your life. Remember, he said to that crowd of scribes that day, "Which is easier, to say to that man, 'Your sins be forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'?" Now, they wouldn't answer. They're afraid to. But had they answered, they would have had to have said, well, it's just as easy to do one as the other. It's just as difficult to do one as the other, because God will have to do both. My friend, the Lord Jesus said, I knew you'd have to say that, because I'm going to say to him, rise, take up your bed and walk, because I've forgiven him his sin. Now, Christ has forgiven you your sin. You've taken up your bed and you've walked, friends. You've walked away from an old life. You've walked away from your old sins, and you're changing. If you haven't walked away, you're still paralyzed for sin today. Oh, this man here was a real man of faith in Christ, and it changed his life. And he's changing the kingdom, too, by the way.